This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've got a Sabres game tonight. They take on the Minnesota Wild. They'll also play on Friday against Vancouver. Both games at home. And finally, Josh, I feel like I'm Rose from Titanic. It's been 84 years since the Bills have done anything at all. I knew they were on the bye week. This is not news to me, but man, it took forever for them to get back to work.
You knew it was coming, but you never knew that it was going to take this long, and it's just felt so painful.
It's been forever.
And it's not like we've had Sabres to supplement. Like, sure, we did, kind of, but they were all Sabres after dark games, and then they've been off since Saturday. So it's like,
it's been this weird dead period. Like, it's been this weird dead period.
UB won yesterday. Yeah. That's great.
Thank goodness for UB football. Yeah. It was on ESPN+, so no thanks for that.
Oh.
But at least they won. It looked really good. Was able to see some of the highlights. But it's been like this weird dead period. We'll hear back from Sal Capaccio, 10:30 coming up here in just about a half hour.
Got to find out how the San Jose Sharks arena is. Sal went to the Sabres Sharks.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to find out about.
I was more wondering about like the Bay Area weather.
Yeah. Well,
he went like the one time where it was bad.
Yeah. Like the only time it was raining.
It's tough. We'll hear from Sal at 10:30. And then, of course, potential weather game coming up Sunday night against the 49ers. We'll hear from Patrick Hammer, WGRZ's chief meteorologist. He's coming up at 11:30. But for today, going to have a little bit of fun with both the teams, in a sense, being back. Bills, of course, don't play till Sunday, but they're going to be on the practice field today, hopefully to get a lot of injury updates today.
Essentially, they're back.
And really, they're Bill Sabres talk all day, 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on with us. We'll also be reading your tweets as well. How important are these next two games for the Sabres? We'll go over some of those road stats, by the way, for Minnesota and Vancouver. They're 1-2 in the league, Josh, in terms of their win-loss total on the road. They are unbelievable. And then with the Bills being back to work today, what are your expectations for Bills 49ers? Again, 803-0550, the number to call. And just one fun tweet here from a Buffalo Williams on the Sabres. I would like them to win all the games. What are my expectations, though? Well, I would like them to win them. Finally, someone's being honest. Someone's being honest, finally. Win all 82. 82-0.
No, see, this is also a great tweet from Bills by a Billion. He tweets out the score, 38-10, and then your response, that's not by a billion, sir.
I'm keeping him in check, man.
Very good. Yeah,
keep him in check.
You got to keep the people on their toes.
He did give an honest reason, though, for why he's not doing it. It's a good one. Listen, I don't want to give San Francisco or Cincinnati any more bulletin board material, and that's fair.
Cincinnati would see that tweet and get mad and be like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I see, the more I've thought about the 49ers, I just, what are they playing for in this game? right?
Their season.
Like, they're playing for their season, mm-hmm. and that's dangerous. You are – they're in a corner. You're going after a hungry dog in a corner, and they're probably going to bite. And that's not great because they have that ability to go out there and be dominant, but –
Can they haven't really been that this year.
Well, but mostly because of injuries. They've been so injured that it's like you can't worry about that because there's no one out there to go after you, right? Like there's no – I don't want to say there's no fear, but like there's not much to be scared of.
I'll be honest, I like the 38-10
yeah.
score line
right.
if it weren't for the weather aspect.
Yeah, well,
and that's why we're going to have Patrick Hammer on, but it's like that's the one thing that I'm looking at. I don't –
It's sounding like it's just going to be cold and windy.
Yeah.
Which is the good thing. And it sounds like most of the snow is going to be south of the stadium, which also a good thing. But you never know. I mean, that weather, the winter storm last year that ended up having the game get moved, mm-hmm. the playoff game, that was because the snow band just sat over top of West Seneca and Orchard Park for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
I drove through it. It was not fun.
It was not a good time. I will say, though, in terms of the weather aspect, a lot of it comes down to the quarterback play
mm-hmm.
and if you actually think you'll get anything out of the passing attack, if all of a sudden it'll become one-dimensional. Unlike years prior, the last 2 years for the Bills, they have a rushing attack you can somewhat trust
yeah.
with James Cook, Ray Davis, and even Taron Johnson. Ty Johnson. I was going to say Tyquan Thornton. I was like, what is happening?
It is actually his full name, I think, is Tyquan, but I'm not sure.
But Ty Johnson. So you have, I don't want to call it a three-headed monster because it's not. It's mainly James Cook and Ray Davis that are getting the work done there, but you can trust it in terms of actually getting the job done. Cook has 10 touchdowns. He's up there with like only 7 Bills running backs or something like that to ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting goal line carries as well. So that's been a big boost for him and his career. I know people with fantasy also have been loving that because that was a big issue with him is, well, he'll put up total yards. He'll have like 2 touchdowns. That has changed this year.
Do you think this is a type of a game where the screen game that the Bills have somehow discovered is going to get more utilized, or do you think that might go away a little bit because of the weather?
No, I feel like that's a short passing game, absolutely.
I feel like that's a type of pass that will kind of be emphasized, but I also don't know if that's viable because think about it. Like the Bills haven't ever had a successful screen game until this season,
mm-hmm.
and do you want to tempt fate and try to do that in a snow game or a potential winter weather game, right? Because that'd probably be the best way you can activate your passing game, because you can't just run it with James Cook and Ray Davis the whole time. But
this also was not going to be the wind game of a few years ago
right.
with New England, where what did Mac Jones throw? Three passes?
Three times. And completed one of them.
So good.
For like two yards.
Good. I hated that game for every second of it.
Super
not
fun.
Only did they – I mean, even if they would have won, I would have looked at that game with hate in my eyes.
Yeah, just one of those games where you just – you need mouthwash to – get over that one because it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Speaking of the passing game, I don't know if Joe and Jeremy got to this. We do know who the legend of the game is going to be this weekend.
Oh.
Do you want to take a guess? It's a quarterback.
Ooh. I don't know.
Joe Ferguson.
No. Doug Flutie.
Oh, okay. That's fun. The one my first Bills game, I borrowed a friend's jersey, and it was a Flutie jersey, and he was the legend of the game. I didn't plan it.
I did not plan it.
Just was there, and I was like, hey, that's him. There he is.
That's the guy.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's fun. I like that.
Boston College. Not a Boston College fan here. No, not at all, actually, in any of their sports.
They're just so...
I don't like Boston sports teams.
Yeah, but they're just there. Like, out of all the Boston sports teams, they're like kind of the outlier of just like, what are you doing?
They've had weird moments. Doug Flutie winning a Heisman is kind of also a weird moment.
Yeah, that's... Probably their only Heisman in school history?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would assume? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I felt safe in assuming that. But
I felt safe.
I just wanted to make sure. I look at like what the Bills could do offensively this game and how they can keep going and try to build off of what they did against Kansas City. And it's just going to be such a different game because of the weather alone or the potential of the mm-hmm. weather that I don't really know what to expect because, I mean, that run game could be great and San Francisco is really hurt. Like, their defense is not at all what it used to be, and it's not really that big in the secondary specifically. So
yep.
this would be a great game where if the weather kind of holds off, you could see the Bills go on a super big air attack. But
on the defense, too, like you brought up, we're talking a lot about Brock Purdy potentially not playing and kind of like seeing all the cloak and dagger stuff that the 49ers do with, like, well, you know, he threw a little bit today and it went kind of well. And then, like, 3 days later, it'll be like, actually, he broke his collarbone. Craziest thing happened. We've known for 3 weeks, but it's stunning. But it's mainly Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
The update there, I mean, even after the game 2 weeks ago, he didn't sound very positive, did not play this past game when they got blown out by Green Bay. I don't want to say it's likely he's not playing. I haven't heard anything, though, on if he's even practicing at all, if there's any hope that he's playing. If he's not in there, that does make it even better. This team already does not give up sacks for Josh Allen. I believe they're top five in least allowed.
I don't think they gave up a sack once against Kansas City, and they're pretty decent.
Chris Jones.
I mean, Chris Jones got completely shut down. But I just look at the 49ers defense, and the only two guys I can really point out, and I'm not even sure if I should be scared of them anymore, is Leonard Floyd and Fred Warner.
Fred Warner, yes.
I mean, Fred Warner, sure, yeah. But Leonard Floyd, you know, he was great here last year with the Bills, but
he tapered off, though, by the end of the year.
Yeah, and he has 6.5 sacks this year. That's not...
Does he really good for him?
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. He has one forced fumble, too.
Nice.
But still, it's just, you know, how much are those guys going to be limited by the fact that there's no one else around them, right? Because that's the thing with, like, the best defenses in the NFL, is you can look at the players around the defense, and it's just a matchup nightmare of, like, well, how are we going to cover five different guys?
Mm-hmm.
With the 49ers, it's how are we going to cover two guys? Oh, okay, cool. Great. Next question.
Well, yeah, like, that's a big thing, too. Debo Samuel, I don't think, has had a good year at all. Everything I've seen on 49ers social media is that they are deeply frustrated with him.
I meant the Bills' offense containing.
Oh, their weapons,
yeah,
yes.
I wasn't quite on 49ers' offense yet. My bad. I worded that poorly. But yeah, I just, like, if Nick Bosa's not in, you just have to worry about Leonard Floyd and Fred Warner. And I'm sure, maybe I'm, like, discounting, you know, other parts of their line, but those are the two names that stand out to me.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, Green Bay kind of ran up and down on them.
Yeah.
No real worries there. 38-10.
I mean, to be fair, Josh Jacobs is probably you could consider him a much better running back than James Cook, but at the same time, Cook has had a great season so far.
Mm-hmm. He's had a very, very good season. Again, 10 touchdowns already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. I'm not worried about this game. A few months ago, I mentioned it earlier this week, I would be very nervous about this game. Now, not much really at all.
Does this feel like kind of... Like, how worried were you when the Bills played the Colts? Well, maybe that's not a... How about the Dolphins? How worried were you at the second Dolphins game?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I wasn't all that worried at all.
Yeah.
No, because I wasn't. Because I was mentioning how this rivalry had kind of lost a little bit of its luster.
Oh, right. I forget.
Yeah.
I remember now.
I wasn't really nervous at all, actually.
Because I'm trying to think of, like, a team that you could compare them to where it's like, yeah, they could be good, but it's kind of injuries and they're just having an off year. Because you can't say that about the Colts. Like, the Colts are in a genuinely bad situation. And that's why, you know, when you looked at that game, it was, well, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't have a good day, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's like, yeah, there's still, like, a lot of guys out there that can have a game. But, I mean, the biggest question mark, obviously, is Brock Purdy, if he's going to play. Because if he doesn't play, Debo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, all of them, George Kittle, they're all non-factors to me. I mean, sure, Brandon Allen can go out there, but what's he realistically going to do?
Well, he's not good.
Exactly. And now, if if Josh Dobbs is out there, hey,
now we've got something.
The Pastrnak's about to take off. But I feel bad discounting the 49ers because of how good they've been over the past few years. But it's just hard to look at this team and be scared.
And it's hard to now give them the same credit. Say the Chiefs are getting this year.
Right.
The Chiefs don't look like the team that has won, you know, the crap ton of games they have, two straight Super Bowls. Well, they kind of do to last year, but in the sense of we're still all giving them credit because they keep winning games. The 49ers are not at that point now. Now they're losing games. And Steve tweets in, brings up a really good point. The 49ers are a desperate team, but the deck is stacked against them. They play in Green Bay, flew back to San Francisco, will go through the holiday, then fly to Buffalo, and then play in the winter elements. Pending McDermott's press conference today, they may also be playing a 90% healthy Bills team.
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve brings up a really good point there, though,
of just kind of what they're dealing with, the idea of going to Green Bay, flying back, going through the holiday, then flying all the way across the country to play in Buffalo in not great weather. I mean, this sort of also does feel like an idea that if you punch them in the mouth early, if this is, say, 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, it could get out of hand quickly.
Yeah,
yes, they're a desperate team. They're not healthy, though. They're not playing particularly well. And again, it's at a point, I believe the line is 7 now in favor of the Bills. Am I going to touch that? No, because it's a big line, and I always get scared about that. I will only do it for the Lions at this rate. But that feels about right. Maybe if Purdy plays, it goes to 5.5. But this team has kind of shown you like what they've been all year, which is not all that great.
Right now in FanDuel, it's still 6.5.
6.5. And so
over-under at 44.5.
That feels about right.
Well,
low,
okay.
Winner game. I get it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I'm not really that worried about the 49ers. It also doesn't help, it helps actually for me. McDermott is 6-0 in his coaching career off the bye.
And they're also
great. And this team
has
lost since 2020 two games in December.
Yeah. Technically, it's not. Wait, is it technically December? No.
That will be December 1st.
It will?
Mm-hmm. Oh. December 1st.
Wow. That crept up on me. I thought Monday was. Okay.
Got to buy Christmas gifts. It's coming up.
Oh, man. What happened to 2024?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But so there's a lot here for me to just kind of, like, I don't want to say I'm not excited. It's Sunday Night Football, potentially like a really cool aesthetic with the winner. I mean, I loved watching Cleveland and Pittsburgh. But overall, I'm sitting here going, San Francisco has to show me that this is even going to be a game. Not the Bills. The Bills I see every year show up after the bye week and go on these incredible runs, even when they're not healthy. And to Steve's point, as he brought up in the tweet, depending on McDermott's press conference today, you could be dealing with the healthiest you've been all year, arguably. So San Francisco, maybe this is an arrogance as somebody, you know, covering the Bills, you got to show me you're going to show up.
Right.
Rather than me just assuming you will, and I've got to hope the Bills can get through it.
And look, there's guys that always show up on this team, right? Like George Kittle, regardless of what he's doing, he is always a legit player. Right?
And he's
like,
having a great season.
When he's fully healthy, he is a great blocker, and he's a great pass-catching tight end. Like he's still, to me, one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the NFL, regardless of who he's playing with and who he's catching passes with.
Mm.
But it still goes back to if Brandon Allen is your starter on Sunday night.
Oh, it feels like a wash.
I just don't.
I don't want to say that and do the whole jinx thing. I get it.
Yeah.
But like if he's playing, if Brock Purdy doesn't really feel great for the 49ers, if it's Brandon Allen, it feels even less so.
Right. But I don't want to jinx things, but there have been times where the Bills have been in the situation where they're playing a backup quarterback or they're playing a lesser quarterback, and it's just kind of this assumption that, you know, oh, Matt Milano is going to have a day, or Terrell Bernard's going to have a day, or the secondary is going to go crazy. But there's been times where that's been the case and the Bills haven't really stepped up to things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think back to when Skylar Thompson was playing, and it was like, that was the playoff game, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, you know, hey, why is Skylar Thompson, you know, passing for like 200 yards on the Bills?
This brings me back, though, real quick. This does bring me back to the idea of why I do not want to play the Dolphins a third time. Skylar Thompson was out there keeping up with you. I don't want to play a division opponent a third time in the wild card round. I rest my case.
Okay. You still have me, I think. But I got to see how, like, if the Dolphins get blown out by Green Bay on Thursday, tomorrow, jeez, I'm losing it today. Weeks, days, months, they're all flying by past me.
I mean, you just found out December starts on Sunday.
Listen, I knew December started like next. I thought December started next Monday, to be fair. It wasn't like I thought it started in like a week and a half. I thought it started next Monday. But regardless, I do want to see if like the Dolphins have a decent game against Green Bay, which I don't think they will because it's in the cold. It's Green Bay in the late November in the winter. Like, I don't think the Dolphins will have a good game, but if they do, then that will further cement my joining you on the side of playing the Broncos in the first round.
What do you think the line is right now for that game?
Judging by that question, I feel like it's like 10.5.
Green Bay, only favored by 3.5.
What? Oh, so it went the other way.
That is like the game I am excited for on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The game I'm excited for.
Well, to be fair, well, no, actually. Yeah, no, that's the game. That's the game. You're right. Because I was thinking, like the Lions are playing, but the Lions, yeah, the Lions are playing the Bears. Never mind.
Oh, well, no, wait. Caleb Williams starting to look better since they fired Shane Waldron.
Yeah, but it's the Lions.
Yeah, they're gonna
and when's the last time we could say that? Like, man. But no, you're right. I didn't know 3.5. Wow.
I'm not touching it.
No.
Not a shot am I touching it.
No, because that's giving a lot of credit to Miami.
See, I think but then a lot of people are going to be like, oh, Green Bay. I mean, like you said, it's the cold. It's in Green Bay. Yeah. It's the Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving night. I mean, it's going to be freezing in Wisconsin, right? And then all of a sudden, this is the game that the Dolphins all of a sudden decide, nah, guys, we figured it out. We can play in the cold.
The Dolphins have secretly been training in Antarctica for the past week and a half.
We figured it out, guys. I don't really want to.
So right now, what time is that game kickoff? 8:20? The kickoff for Green Bay, the temperature, according to my phone, is going to be 25.
Oh, boy.
Currently in Green Bay, right now, it is 25 at 10:20 on Wednesday. It feels like 23. I can't look at the feels like I had like that far, so I have no idea what it's going to feel like tomorrow night. But towards the end of the game, it'll drop down to almost 20. So it's not counting in the wind chill. It's not counting in potential snow. Mm-hmm. There is no snow in the forecast. It's just cloudy. But take that what you will.
Take that what you will. Jimmy tweets in as we're talking here. Bills, 49ers. Sal Capaccio going to be joining the show here in just under 10 minutes as the Bills finally get back to work. They deserve the bye. They needed the bye. Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. But Jimmy tweets in, how have you guys not mentioned McCaffrey? He alone can kill the Bills. He's my only quote-unquote worry this week. And to that point, and I responded to Jimmy as well, he has been good, and he doesn't look healthy.
He looks like a guy that's having, what is it, tendonitis or something like that? Or
yeah, it's tendonitis in both of his ankles Achilles. And it's not, he doesn't look right. Up to this point, against Green Bay, he had 11 rushes for 31 yards, a good for 2.8. Average. Seattle, much better, 19 for 79 at 4.2 average, but then against Tampa Bay, his first game back, 13 for 39, a 3.0 average. And then in receiving, he's been fine. Tampa Bay was much better. He did have that one long 30-yard pass, but outside of that, he doesn't really look all that dangerous. This is not Derrick Henry. This is not Saquon Barkley. This is not even Jonathan Taylor when you played him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that is not healthy, like most of their team, and he's been a big reason why they haven't been good this year is that he hasn't been there. And now that he is there, it's still not great.
I really wonder. He's
also a big thing on that, too. If they don't have Trent Williams again for this game, shot. He is a big – him and George Kittle maybe are the most important guys to their – or Kyle Juszczyk as well. So there's three guys, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk. If any one of them are out of that triangle, their run game is a real tough time getting going.
Thinking back to, like, our – what if conversation from like a month or two ago, Christian McCaffrey is going to be probably the biggest what if in sports. If like the whole what if he didn't get injured conversation, I think Christian McCaffrey might be up there for one of the biggest once he retires. Because we obviously don't know. I mean, he could still get healthy, figure things out, and go back to the way he was. But this span over the past few years of him getting hurt, getting back, like that's, I think that's really
That was more in the beginning of his career. He went through like I think three or four seasons without missing a game or dealing with injuries.
Well, they're right, yeah. But I'm saying, like,
he had his big pop moment. I mean, we're all talking about Saquon Barkley potentially being an MVP. Chris McCaffrey was that same guy last year with how dominant he was for the 49ers.
But I mean, look at the past. Look at his career, basically. His second year is his first 1,000-yard season. Then he goes up to 1,300 yards with the Panthers, mind you. And then injury in 2020, injury in 21, plays in 2022 for two teams, Carolina and San Francisco, plays all of last year, has his best rushing season, and then gets hurt or has like the tendonitis issue, which isn't really like an injury, but it's more so just a thing that popped up. Obviously he's had an insane career still, but it's just, I feel like you take that 2020, 2021 seasons, and obviously like there's COVID and stuff in there too, so that probably affected things, but that was the year after his 1,300-yard season. I think we would have seen him surpass 1,400 yards or even 1,500 yards at this point had he played all those years. Because it's just more and more.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's
reps and more chances, but it's just,
and that's
like
the thing too. He touches the ball a lot, so you do have to wonder about his longevity of his career. I don't necessarily look at him with injuries of like what could have been. We all know how good he is. Maybe his overall career stats, sure, but we'll all look at him and go, yeah. I mean, when he's on the field, though, he was one of the best top three running backs.
I guess in
his time.
That conversation for him more so applies to the stats rather than how he looks, because on the field he still looks like Christian McCaffrey. He still looks incredible and dangerous, but it's just not showing up on paper.
Yep,
I think that's kind of where I go to, because a lot of those what if conversations, you tend to look at what they're doing on the field or on the court or whatever, and oh man, that guy looks hurt. He looks different since that injury, whatever. This looks like, you know, hey, if he wouldn't have been hurt, his numbers would be better, but he's still great.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. What do you want to see from the Bills against the 49ers this Sunday? Do you have even any fears going into this Sunday night's matchup? I'm sitting here, I'm feeling good. I just kind of want to see this team get a win. I think they will. We do have, though, some breaking news before we hit our first timeout. Daniel Jones has his team. He is signing with the Minnesota Vikings. This is coming from Jordan Schultz over on NFL on Fox. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, Sal Capaccio will join the show after his much-deserved vacation as the Bills get back to work later today. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.